Thank you, Chris. Good afternoon, brethren. Excuse me. I think I'm going to need this today. Well, good afternoon again, brethren. Happy Sabbath. If you'd turn with me to Luke chapter 18, Luke chapter 18, and we'll read verses 1 through 8. Luke 18, in my Bible it says the parable of the persistent woman. It says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in the city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversaries. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Wow. Christ is saying here that when he comes back to this earth, will he find faith? To me, that's a very powerful and yet scary statement. And that's what I want to focus on here today. Will he, Christ, find faith when he returns? So although my focus is on faith, this to me is a kind of a part two of the message I gave a few weeks back entitled, Is God's Word Real to Us? Because I think that this is all tied in together. If God's Word isn't real to us, then we are going to have serious troubles with our faith. Sometimes faith is seen as trust, as in trusting in God. Although it's similar, I think there's a distinction. It's not quite the same. For example, we as being called by God, believing in Him, believing that He is God, and we believe in His written word, and that the word was written and inspired by God, like it says in 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But it's one thing to believe in His word and another to have the faith that it really applies to us. That we are going to be able to make it into God's kingdom. That's where I think some of us fall short at times. And I believe there are usually three reasons why that happens. I'm sure there's more, but these are my three. Number one is that we tell ourselves that we just aren't growing enough. We keep sinning. Number two is that I just don't read and study as much as I should, so why would God bother with me? And number three is because of all the trials we go through at different times in our lives, whether they're physical, financial, or just life's trials in general. Rather, none of these reasons we experience are good. And I have experienced them myself at times. Believe me, I'm familiar with them. But they can all be rectified. We can change all of those things. Well, let me clarify, maybe not all. Maybe we won't be able to change some of the trials that we go through. But I'll address that a little bit later. But for the other conditions we find ourselves in from time to time, we can change those things. If God's word is real to us, if it is, we will make the necessary changes. I believe these things are mostly why the scripture we just read in Luke 18:8 comes into play. When he comes, will he find faith? Brethren, if we don't have faith, we are going to have all kinds of other problems, possibly not being able to enter into God's kingdom. I say possibly because there are scriptures in God's word that says, "Oh, you of little faith," implying that there are varying amounts and degrees of faith. So it doesn't mean dogmatically that we are not going to enter God's kingdom. I'm not saying that. I just want us to be aware of the importance of our faith and increasing that faith. We know that in Romans 10:17, it says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God." So if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and if God's word is real to us, and we read and study it, then we should have it, right? Well, the answer is yes. However, we still have our human character and spirit to contend with, our carnality, if you will. Even Paul dealt with that. Let's read some of that in Romans 7. Romans chapter 7. And we'll read verses 14 through 20. Romans 7. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing I do not understand, for what I do that I do not practice, what I will to do that I do not practice, but what I hate that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will to do, that I practice." And verse 20, "Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." To me, Paul was one of the greatest apostles. He came from one of the worst backgrounds. He persecuted God's people a lot. In fact, he put some of them in prison, and he even killed some of them. He did a lot of really bad stuff. So bad that when God called him, some of the people didn't trust him. They were leery about him. I believe as a result of that, he had to go through a lot of tests and trials. And God used him in a big way. That's just my personal opinion. There's more to the story, but I'll leave it there. At any rate, it makes it pretty clear that we all struggle from time to time with our carnality. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as I said in my last message. We need to have that same mindset as Christ had. If we do, our faith will increase. So now let's address the three reasons we falter at times with our faith. Number one, we tell ourselves we aren't growing enough. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 13. Chapter 3, excuse me. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter 3, verse 18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." Brethren, we are to be growing in grace and knowledge. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. As we grow, our faith will increase. As our faith grows, our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ becomes stronger. If we are following Christ's example, if we are, our sins will lessen because we will be striving to be more like our Father and Christ living in us. And when we sin, and we will, we can read that in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 says, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. When we do sin, our sins will be forgiven because God is a merciful God and forgives us when we go to him and repent." We can find that in 1 John 2. 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." Reason number two that we might falter in our faith is that I just don't read and study as much as I should, so why would God bother with me? How much time are we putting into studying God's Word? I struggle with that myself. The question for all of us is, do we look at it as a priority? We need to. I tell myself at times, I know I need to study God's Word more, but I also have to live in this world, which is true. We do. But that's not a good excuse for not reading God's Word as often as we really need to. Paul gave us a really good analogy of that in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 24. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." In other words, if it's worth going after, it's worth the work to put in the time to make it happen. If it's important enough, we'll do what we have to do to run the race to win. You don't have to turn there, but in Hosea 4:6, we all know that. Hosea 4:6 says that "my people are destroyed or perish for lack of knowledge." So if God's Word is real to us, we will be studying it. That is something that we must do. We have to make it a priority in our lives. We need to make the time to read God's Word. Especially with all that is going on around us, all the distractions, that's how we draw closer to Him. By doing so, our faith will increase. Remember Romans 10:17, Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more we read, the more we hear, the more our faith increases. Number three, the third reason we may falter in our faith is because of all the trials we go through. Some more than others. God determines that. Whether they're physical, financial, or just life's trials. This, to me, is the biggest faith killer. And I think rightly so. It's a real trial when we have to go through and experience physical and financial and relationship problems. I can speak with some experience on that topic. At times, it's hard to see the light through the end of the tunnel, so to speak. When we're going through them, the carnal side of us doesn't always want to think and look at them as being good. Even though we know that it is, God doesn't want us to hurt. He wants to build us up. He wants us to grow in patience, endurance, and mostly, I think, in faith. Let's read some familiar scriptures to prove this point. Let's go to James 1. Familiar scripture, James 1. We'll read verses 2 through 4. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." That we may be perfect and complete, that we're lacking in nothing. God gives us trials because He wants us to lack nothing. He wants to test us, as the scripture says, because it produces faith. Brethren, as we go through trials, whether they're physical, financial, or otherwise, it forces us to draw closer to God. Think about it for a minute. When we're going through trials, doesn't it draw us closer to God? Don't we usually pray and study more? I know I do. Sometimes we get stuck for a time. You know, the old why me scenario kicks in. But usually we come out the other side stronger and closer to God. We learn things that God wants us to learn. Remember Paul? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. We'll look at chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll read verses 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" In verse 10, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong." So Paul says through the trials, when he is weak, he is weakened, he is actually strengthened. He's stronger. And brethren, we get stronger through them too. Now let's look at endurance. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. It says, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." So, in James 1:4, it said, "So we would lack nothing." And here, we are told that we need endurance. And in Hebrews 12:1, it says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's so we will be equipped for the race that's set before us, so that we can receive the promise." Brethren, our faith is a very important part of our walk with God. He wants us to increase it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 15. Paul is talking about not boasting and comparing himself with others who compare themselves with one another, but rather he is happy to see our faith is being increased. Let's read it. Verse 15. "Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere." And we know that there are scriptures that talk about healings as a result of faith. Matthew 9:29 is one. You don't have to turn there. Matthew 9:29 is where Christ healed two blind men because of their faith. And in verse 22, he healed a woman who had been bleeding for years because of her faith. And there are others. Brethren, God doesn't always heal us. He didn't heal Paul's thorn in his side, did he? He said, "My grace is sufficient." Although he asked several times. Sometimes our trials are for others, as was pointed out in last week's message. So our trials help us to produce patience, that we may become perfect and complete. For when we are made weak, we are actually made stronger. They help us to have endurance so that we can finish the race that is set before us. The race for that imperishable crown, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. Says, "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown, the crown of glory that doesn't fade away." Like it says in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4 says, "When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." And I think most importantly, our trials help us to increase our faith in God, our faith in the fact that He's watching over us, building us up, that He sent His Son, our Savior, to show us the way. He's the author and finisher of our faith. We can read that in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's through Christ that we can draw closer to God, with Christ living in us, having that same mindset that he had. So, brethren, as we continue to live this life that we have set before us, let us strive to not grow weary from the trials that will come upon us. But if we do start to feel weary, let's remember what Paul said in Galatians 6. Galatians 6 and verse 9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Because we will also know that if we are striving to live a godly life, if God's word is real to us, we will suffer persecutions. We can read that in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. As God's people, we are going to experience trials. That's how we learn lessons. God chastens those he loves. God wants us to live up to our full potential. He wants us to be in his kingdom. That's why we are called. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's hold on to that vision. Let's continue to strive to count our trials all joy, as we read in James 1:2. Let's continue, as Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, it says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Let us live by faith, fighting the good fight, so that when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith.